You're listening to the Discovery COVID-19 podcast. I'm Azania Mosaka, and I'll be speaking to expert guests to help you better understand coronavirus disease 2019, as well as how best to manage your health, well-being, and financial security during this time. Pregnancy is a time in which a woman's health is of utmost importance. What does it mean to be pregnant in the time of a pandemic such as COVID-19? And what does this illness mean for mothers-to-be? With us today to share key insights into this theme is Professor Priya Soma Pillay. She is the newly appointed head of obstetrics and maternal and fetal medicine at Steve Biko Academic Hospital and the University of Pretoria. She's also interim president of the College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of South Africa, as well as the honorary secretary of the South African Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. In other words, she is really the leading obstetrician in South Africa. We're really privileged to have a person of your caliber with us, Professor Soma Pillay, and to be able to pick your brain on the subject. Hello.
Good afternoon, Azania.
So let's get straight into it. If we look at the experience of a pregnant woman in this time, what should pregnant women do to lower the risk of a COVID-19 infection?
Pregnant women should practice the same good personal hygiene principles as non-pregnant individuals, and that is frequent hand washing, use of hand sanitizers, use of masks, and also avoiding touching one's face, particularly with your hands and fingers. One should also avoid close contact with other people and practice social distancing. If a pregnant woman experiences any symptoms, she should be advised to take responsibility to isolate herself and additionally wear a face mask and phone her local health facility or the National COVID Helpline to inquire about whether she should be tested for COVID or not.
Right. But are pregnant women among the groups we consider high risk for severe illness for COVID-19? Is it expected, as it is with people in general, that the majority of these women will experience mild to moderate illness?
So we think about 14% of individuals, and that's data from America, will actually be asymptomatic and have no symptoms at all, although they are carrying the infection. The majority of women will have mild flu-like symptoms consisting of a cough, fever, and a sore throat. And then a small proportion will have severe symptoms, shortness of breath, and respiratory problems. And these are the women that we are particularly worried about.
Mm. Is there a likelihood of a fetus being exposed to COVID-19 during pregnancy if the mom contracts it?
So currently, no viral particles or virus has been identified in amniotic fluid or cord blood. So there is no evidence of what we call vertical transmission or evidence that the fetus can be affected while in utero.
Right. So at the moment, as you say, based on evidence, the we don't see that likelihood.
No.
Right. But which pregnant women are at high risk of severe illness as a result of COVID-19 due to, say, other chronic illnesses that they may have?
So fortunately, our reproductive age group is particularly women under the age of 40, and this is a low risk for women to complicate or any individual to complicate as a result of COVID disease. Women who are at high risk are those, and this is data from King's College in London, a woman who are pregnant above the age of 40 and those with comorbid conditions like hypertension and diabetes. And this is the data we have from the UK. At the moment, we don't have local data that I can quote from.
Yes. So in addition to the usual symptoms, what should a pregnant woman look out for? What symptoms should she look out for? And could these be impacted perhaps by some of the things or symptoms that come with pregnancy?
Yes, so pregnancy can mimic mild disease. Because of the physiological changes in pregnancy, women are sometimes short of breath. But if she feels that this is persisting despite rest, then women should contact their healthcare practitioners. So most women will have the typical cough, fever, sore throat. Some of the rare symptoms are shortness of breath and even diarrhea. And what we've also picked up now is the loss of smell and taste. So these are the sort of symptoms that are not commonly present, but women should be aware that some of them will present atypically. And if they are unsure, it's better to contact your health practitioner for advice.
Right. But should women be going into hospital for things like their antenatal appointments? Does this increase the exposure risk to COVID?
So the Department of Health has made a list of non-emergency but essential services that need to continue. Mm-hmm. And antenatal care is one of the services that should continue. Other services on the list are contraception services, termination of pregnancy, postnatal care, and gynecological oncology. So although women may feel that they may be putting themselves at risk, all healthcare facilities have been advised to adapt their way of functioning, make appointments so that patients are not sitting in a group in the waiting room, that there's only one or two persons in the waiting room and there is a distance between the chairs. But it's very important that women do continue their antenatal care visits.
Mm. Do you think that this moment is also primed for an increase in the use of things like online resources, that they become even more important now? For example, say virtual care, online consultations. What do you think of these as an option, or do you think that they're relevant to any part of caring for a pregnant woman, to sort of limit the need to come into a healthcare facility? And do you think that this could also be useful for women to do things like antenatal classes, doing them rather online?
I think antenatal classes are acceptable online, and online consultations for certain disciplines are acceptable. At this stage, it has not been tested in pregnancy, and certain interventions that take place during the antenatal visit cannot be omitted. So blood pressure needs to be measured at every antenatal visit. Urine needs to be checked for protein, glucose, or any infections. And unfortunately, this cannot be done online. There's a concept that has been coined now of missing normal conditions. And we mustn't miss underlying hypertension or other big conditions that cause maternal morbidity and mortality because our focus is now on COVID. So we should still remember or keep in touch with other conditions. And I'm worried that if we do lose our contact with our patients, we may miss certain other underlying diseases. So at this stage, the Department of Health is not promoting or not advocating for any online consultation. The only time where this can take place or a consultation may be delayed is if a woman has been tested or recently tested positive for COVID and she's well, and she's a low-risk patient and she has been asked to self-isolate, then her visit can be postponed to later. But for other patients, antenatal visits need to continue.
Right, especially if the hospital has modified how it operates so that COVID-19 yeah. patients are isolated from the rest of the patient group.
Yes.
Right. Are there differing risks in relation to COVID-19 when it comes to a natural birth versus a cesarean section?
So a natural birth or cesarean section will not increase, or the mode of delivery will not increase one's risk for developing COVID disease in pregnancy. A cesarean section is not protected to the infant that is going to be born. So like I said earlier, the virus has not been isolated in amniotic fluid or cord blood. So at this stage, a cesarean section is not protective. And a cesarean section should only be done for obstetric indications.
But what about midwife-led or home births at this time? Do we want to keep women who perhaps are high risk going to medical facilities, whereas they could decrease their risk by going for a midwife-led or home birth. What's your view on that?
Midwife-led care or home births are generally reserved for women who have low-risk pregnancies. Mm-hmm. So provided they test negative for COVID, this can continue. And every health facility should have the ability to screen and test all individuals at every antenatal visit. So if a patient enters a facility, she screens positive, she needs to be tested. If that test becomes positive, the woman's risk category in pregnancy then changes, and she now becomes a high-risk pregnant woman. And women who are now classified as high-risk should then be managed by a specialist or at a facility that is designated for COVID care. So unfortunately, midwife-led care or home birth care is not acceptable or recommended for women who are positive for COVID disease in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. These women need to be cared for by a specialist. And if they develop severe symptoms or if the pregnancy complicates even further, they may require multidisciplinary care that involves an obstetrician, a physician, and a critical care specialist. As soon as a woman tests positive for COVID, her risk profile in pregnancy changes and she now becomes high risk.
But what about midwife-led or home births at this time for women who are low risk?
So as long as they remain in the low risk category, this is still acceptable.
Right. We've spoken a little bit on the precautions that hospitals are taking, but there are also other precautions like limiting visitors and sometimes even a spouse from the birth. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the likely scenario at delivery and visitation rights thereafter, after the birth?
We've seen that a few hospitals, particularly some in KZN, and there's been one or two hospitals in Johannesburg, that have become hotspots for COVID infection. And just being in a hospital puts one at risk for both spreading the disease and contracting the infection. So at this stage, the recommendation by the Department of Health is that visitors, all visitors, be limited. At the state, at our hospital at Steve Biko, women are not allowed any visitors and partners are no longer allowed to be present at the birth. And this is just to try to limit and protect other patients, but also individuals entering the hospital.
Mm. But if a mother has COVID-19, what does this mean for bonding with a baby right after the birth? And this is something that's seen as very important. And perhaps speak to us as well about the risk are newborns at risk of severe illness?
Okay, so again, the virus has not been isolated in breast milk. So babies are unlikely to contract the infection from breastfeeding. The current recommendation is that if the mother and baby are both well, that breastfeeding continues under certain conditions. Breastfeeding, bonding, skin-to-skin contact has several advantages. So provided the mother practice hygienic principles, regular hand washing, sanitizing, cleaning of the breast before and after breastfeeding, we think breastfeeding has more benefits than isolating the mother from the baby. There has been some reports of transmission to the neonate, but in general, most of these little babies have actually done very well. So we think that there's more benefit to breastfeeding than separating the mother from the infant.
And then finally, Professor Somapile, should women plan pregnancies during the COVID-19 pandemic? I know it's easier said than done, but when we are planning pregnancies, do you think this is an appropriate period?
So the Department of Health is currently recommending that women consider postponing the pregnancy to after the pandemic. And one of the reasons for this is to try and limit infection, both to the pregnant mother while she's pregnant, but also to limit and reduce the burden on our healthcare facilities. So if possible, we would encourage women to consider postponing pregnancies if they can.
Right. Professor Soma Pillay, thank you so much for all these insights today.
Pleasure. Nice speaking to you.
We've learned so much from Professor Soma Pillay today about how the moms-to-be out there can maintain their well-being in the face of COVID-19. If you want to understand the impact of COVID-19 on pregnancy even further, please look out for my podcast interview with psychiatrist Professor Renata Schoeman, who chatted to me about mental health and pregnancy in the time of COVID-19. And on another note, did you know that the Discovery Foundation has for many years supported the University of Pretoria's maternal and child health initiatives through multiple awards and grants? One of these was a grant of 1 million rand in 2016-2017, in that year towards the Maternal and Infant Healthcare Strategies Unit within the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the university. The grant funded research into solutions to the problems that women face when dealing with health systems for maternal and infant care. And in addition to this, Professor Priya Soma Pillay has also been a supervisor to two subspecialists who were each awarded a grant of 1.3 million rand towards their specialization. It's excellent to know important research into maternal and child health is getting the support it deserves.
This podcast was brought to you by Discovery. Stay informed, stay healthy.